Friday night on ESPN2's Family Movie Night, we present Believeland, the story of LeBron James' mission to bring a championship to Cleveland fans in 2016. Believeland, Friday night, 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, we hashtag rise and shine this morning with one of our own, our beloved Hall of Famer, Dick Vitale, who is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers season ticket holder, and he is so excited that the Buccaneers got Rob Gronkowski that he jumped into his pool while dressed. You have to go to his Twitter and actually listen to it, because he's just cheering and yelling and about how excited he is that Gronky, the man, is 80 years old and we should all have his enthusiasm. And that's sort of the reaction of a lot of people in Tampa. You know what? It's supposed to be about fun. And that's what we're trying to bring you here every single morning, particularly to all of you who are medical professionals and first responders. We thank you. Our show is for you. We try and take your mind off all that you're dealing with. We have an hour to do it coming up, and we have one of the busiest sports days of the year. It is time to get up with the two best friends that anyone could have, Tampa Tom and his old pal Gronk, reunited. The question is, will it still feel so good? Plus, the biggest decision is only 36 hours from being made. And the odds say Tua isn't the second quarterback off the board. You'll hear why that might be the best thing for him. And our interview with Roger Goodell. You'll hear exactly what the commissioner knows about starting the season on time and much more as we get up with you starting right now. And it starts with Gronk. He had a stellar career with the Patriots. He's headed to the Hall of Fame, led the league in receiving touchdowns his second season. He has the third most touchdowns by a tight end of all time. But, of course, he retired. And last year, he spent a bunch of time in the WWE. Most recently, he beat his friend Mojo Rawley for the 24/7 championship belt at WrestleMania 36. Means he's got to be on call for the WWE whenever they want him. And yesterday, the Patriots traded Gronk and a 7th-round pick to Tampa for a 4th-rounder. Brady and Gronk have connected for the 5th most touchdowns by any quarterback-receiver combination in NFL history. Here's what Gronk said yesterday in a text to Fox Sports. Quote, I'm back. I always said when I have that feeling and it feels right, I'll be ready to take the field again. And I have that feeling, I'm ready. Gronk's agent is Drew Rosenhaus. He was on SportsCenter yesterday explaining how it all came together.
I think Rob was really interested in coming back about a month ago. Shortly after Tom Brady went to Tampa, Rob and I had a conversation that this is a situation that would be appealing to him. Obviously, this was a deal that New England had to feel good about. Tampa had to feel good about this. This wasn't just about Rob. All the parties involved had to be in agreement. He loves New England. He loves the Patriots organization, Coach Belichick, the Krafts, his teammates that are still there. He had an amazing run in New England. It was just time for him to continue his career with Tom Brady in Florida, with Tampa. It was something cool and exciting and challenging for him. He's well-rested and looking forward to playing with Tom again.
All right, so what does it mean? Well, Las Vegas thinks it means a lot. Tampa Bay was 50-1 to win the Super Bowl months ago. Then Brady shows up March 17th. It goes to 22-1. Now, yesterday, it drops to 14-1. They have the 5th shortest odds of any team in the NFL. And we have tons of perspective this morning. Rex and Dan are back, and they're joined by the one and only Adam Schefter. Schefty, like most people, I found out about this from your Twitter feed yesterday. So let's talk about it. How did this happen? How are Gronk and Tom now reunited in Tampa?
I think that Rob Gronkowski, Greeny, wanted to take the year off, recharge physically, mentally. And the fact of the matter is, when Tom Brady went to Tampa, there were whispers all around the league about veterans wanting to join him there. And I think that was directed largely at Rob Gronkowski, who wanted to go there, who, as Drew Rosenhaus said, began thinking about this about a month ago. But really, they were thinking about this long before that. And the truth of the matter is that Rob Gronkowski was under contract to the Patriots on the reserve retire list. And the moment he tells them he wants to come back, he counts for $10 million against their cap. They're only about $1 million under the cap. They don't have that kind of room. They can't accommodate him. So Gronkowski had the Patriots in a tough spot. Now, keep in mind, 2 years ago, the Patriots traded him, agreed to trade him to Detroit. And Gronkowski didn't want to go there either because he only wanted to play with Tom Brady. And so when Tom Brady goes to Tampa and he only wants to play with Tom Brady, well, there you go. There's the reunion once again in Tampa with the New England Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Patriots, whatever you want to call them. They're back together again, trying to become the first team ever to play a Super Bowl in their home city.
Well, look, Brady is copywriting all these things. Maybe you should try those and see how that turns out for you, Shefty. Orlovsky, I want to ask you this, because if you heard Dominique Foxworth a few minutes ago here, he seems uncertain as to just how much Gronk has left. When last seen, Gronk certainly didn't run the way he had before. Just how much do you believe Gronk will be able to help this team?
Ton. He's got plenty left. And I look at it a little bit differently than Dom in two regards. Remember, in New England, Gronk had to be the number one tight end for everything. The number one tight end in their blocking game, when he was used in pass protection, and then obviously in their pass game. I actually expect Gronk to be a little bit more of a flex tight end in Tampa Bay. Cameron Brate will be part of their run game big time, especially at the point of attack. They'll use him in some pass protection. And don't be surprised if we see Gronk in the slot a little bit more, flex out as a potential wide receiver in that two tight end set. So they're not going to put the burden on him of every single play having to be the focal point of where the ball is going to go to. And the second thing is this, I remember playing down in Tampa Bay and I was with Rondé Barber, who's near the end of his career, and I was getting older in mind. And I said, Rondé, how have you been able to play so well for so long? He said, the number one thing was I lost weight. My body was conditioned to take all the hits that were necessary, but me losing that weight allowed me to play faster and my injuries to recover faster throughout the week. And I think that we're going to see that with Gronk. I think Gronk losing the weight is actually going to be a good thing for him. He's going to feel fresher and feel healthier. Listen, he's going to have a big-time impact on this offense. Think about it as a defense right now, Greeny. Okay, I got Gronk in the middle of the field. Well, if I put guy one-on-one, notoriously he wins. Well, if I put two guys on him, then Mike Evans is one-on-one. Or Chris Godwin is one-on-one. You don't match up well. And the last thing is this. Now Tom Brady has somebody with him that is going to bring that urgency to Tampa, that is going to bring that focus at practice, the ability to bring everybody and galvanize them and say, this is how we do it. This is how winners do it. And so I think he's going to have a tremendous impact on the field and off.
All right, so Rex, you're the guy who would be designing a defense to deal with that. Just how much of a handful is that Tampa Bay offense looking like it's going to be?
No, it's huge, and it starts with the two guys outside. All right, with Godwin and Mike Evans. That's impossible. Now you're going to put Gronkowski there, O.J. Howard, Brate, all those guys there. I mean, this offense, look, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards last year. Yeah, we all know about the turnovers, but he did throw for 5,000 yards. So this offense was already potent. Now you bring in Gronkowski, and I want to focus on one area. The red zone, why it's the most important area on the field, all right? We had a guy named Plexico Burress came to us with the Jets. He'd been in out of football, let's just say, for 2 years. We are dead last in the NFL in the red zone. We went to first because of this guy, not just because all the touchdowns he had, but the fact he allowed other receivers to get open. Our problem was we couldn't get to the red zone. That's another story. But anyway, I'm saying Gronk can have that kind of impact right there. He can affect wins and losses in the red zone in that area specifically, and that's it. And if you take him on, if you just say, don't think for a second he's an every down player, he's not.
Right.
I said that he had a piano on his back, and that's exactly how he played at the end of his time in New England. Dan mentions that he lost weight. Yes, that's going to help. Playing on grass, you know, on the practice, all those things make sense. But he's not going to be an every down player. But the great thing is he doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
But he's going to still impact the game, in a huge fashion.
Shefty, we mentioned Cameron Brate is there and Gronk is there. Right now, O.J. Howard is there. But the expectation is that he will not be. What do you see happening now as far as O.J. Howard and the possibility of a trade?
Well, I don't know that there's an expectation that he won't be.
Nope.
I know his name has come up. But I was told yesterday that they're keeping him. Now, again, I know what they say. And what might happen could turn out to be different. And logically, you look at it, you'd say, well, trading O.J. Howard makes sense. But why was he not included in that deal back to New England? And New England has made attempts before in the past to try to trade for O.J. Howard and have been unable to get him. And Tampa Bay has been hesitant to part with him. So maybe they will trade with him. I mean, that's the logical thing to do. But right now, they have zero plans in place to trade him. They don't have any agreement on a trade for him. And again, you would think that his name would come up logically, but they say it's not the case. So We'll see how that one plays out over the weekend. But, Green, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
When was the last time the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the hottest story in football? When was the last time people wanted to see Tampa Bay on Monday Night Football or whatever it may be? But the Bucs are all in this year, and I would think that there are some veterans still on the street, that they'll be adding some more veterans here to try to round out that roster to make one run for it here with Tom and Rob in Tampa this season.
Yeah, no, a fascinating look. They're the team that won a Super Bowl 20 years ago, and even then they weren't this kind of must-see TV. All right, Shefty, stay here because my next question is for you again, because we are sitting here on a Wednesday. Tomorrow night is day one of the NFL draft, and we have a real good sense of what's going to happen at the very tippy top. The question is, how about this guy? Where is Tua Tagovailoa going to land? At most sports books, Oregon's Justin Herbert has jumped in front of Tua as the favorite to be the second quarterback off the board. Everyone is looking at five where Miami picks. Let me go back to Shefty. Shefty, what are you hearing right now as far as Tua, Herbert, and those picks there in the top 10?
Green, it's the story of the draft. And the one thing you hear when you talk to other teams, when you talk to other people around the league, is that it is quiet out of Miami. And the Dolphins have not let on their intention. I know there was a while where it was building and it seemed to be going in the direction of Justin Herbert. I don't sense that right now, but we'll see whether or not that's right. That's just an educated feel right now for what I'm sensing out of Miami. I don't know that Justin Herbert is going to wind up being the pick there. And so do they go ahead and take Tua? We don't know. They've raised some questions about the medical, but it's a guy that they put an awful lot of time into. I think they do like Jordan Love. I don't know that they would go Jordan Love at five. And again, it just creates, to me, the most interesting question of the draft. What does Miami do at number five? We all wait to see what happens on Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
Keeping in mind that they have three picks in the first round. Shefty, awesome. Thank you. We will be glued to your Twitter feed and all the rest of it as we work our way toward there. Now, Miami has a history of passing on a quarterback because of injury. And Nick Saban, ironically, who was Tua's coach, knows that. He told the Wall Street Journal, "We failed Drew Brees on the physical. That's why he's not Miami's quarterback." Remember, Saban was the coach at the time at Miami. "The sky's the limit," he says. "I don't think any of the questions with Tua have to do with his ability to throw the ball and be effective." So let me get Laura back in the conversation here. Laura Rutledge, again, we've been talking about this for so long. It's finally here. What is the expectation for what will happen tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think there's just so much that when you look at all of this, could have been propaganda, could be the truth. I mean, it's hard to just sift through all of it and figure it out. But, you know, you just heard Shefty there talking about Miami, and that really is that flex point in all of this. We've continued to say that Miami would be the team. They're trying to come out of this with a franchise quarterback. And as Shefty reported last week, one thing I think is really interesting is that Miami was trying to get Tua Tagovailoa into their facility to visit with him and to have their doctors look at him right before the league had to shut down those visits because of COVID-19. And Tua, on his side, they were trying to get that going too. It's also worth pointing out, through all of that, from the medical standpoint, the unaffiliated doctor, Thomas Bird, who was able to look at Tua's hip, was chosen by NFL teams as the guy to look at the hip, and he reported back a very positive report. And I do think that that's what these teams feel when they're looking at Tua right now.
So as you, Dan Orlovsky, evaluate the two quarterbacks in question here, Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa, I know you like Tua better. How wide is the difference between them?
Enormous. I mean, we're talking, if Tua is a bone-in filet, Justin Herbert is like Steakums. Steakums are good. They're good, right? They're a good option. I grew up on them. But I'm not going to pay $60 for them. I know when I get a bone-in filet, I'm going to spend $60 on it, and it's going to be worth every penny, Greeny. The gap between these two guys is massive. I've talked about it where everything that Tua does that's important at the quarterback position, throw with anticipation, be accurate with the football, have instinctual and reactionary qualities, get through progressions. He does those consistently. He does those things. That's who Tua is. Justin Herbert has a play of it. Yes, there's a play of it where he shows accuracy, and there's a play where he shows anticipation, and there's a play where he has those instincts, but it's not consistent, Greeny. It's just not consistent. So you have to ask yourself, do you think that you're the coaching staff that can pull those traits out of Justin Herbert? And I'd ask you this, Greeny, if I gave you the opportunity of having Deshaun Watson or Mitchell Trubisky, who would you take and why? Or Carson Wentz and Mitchell Trubisky, who would you take and why? Deshaun Watson's missed 11 games in 48 starts. Carson Wentz has missed 8 in 64 starts. Mitchell Trubisky in 42 opportunities. He's been more durable. But everyone would take Carson Wentz, and everyone would take Deshaun Watson over him. Why? Because they're better. They're more talented. And the talent reigns over the durability.
Rex, do you agree? I know that you have been high on Justin Herbert through this. Do you, too, believe there is a significant gap between how good Tua is and how good Herbert is?
Yeah, I do. I think Tua is an amazing, you know, prospect. However, to sit back and just dismiss it, well, durability. Wait a second. This guy could already have arthritis in his hips, all that stuff. We really don't know. So to me, the biggest gamble in the history of the NFL draft. And let's not say that Herbert is just a wash. His upside's higher than any player in this draft, in my opinion. And when you look at it, he did throw for what? 33 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He did something there. By the way, he's big, strong, has the best arm, athletic. So to me, he's not a bust by any stretch of the imagination. He's intelligent. He's only going to get better and better. He's also going to be available. That's what we know about him. This isn't Mitchell Trubisky. It may be Carson Wentz, by the way. So to me, it's not a throwaway. I love Tua personally.
We thought Andrew Luck was going to be available too.
I would still take Tua on the Miami Dolphins.
I have to leave it there for the moment, guys. We'll come back. We'll argue more
as
we
go. Yeah, he's going to be available. We'll
see
how long.
But I'm getting yelled at from the studio. Roll the bumps. Coming up, the Super Bowl was less than 3 months ago. It feels like years. We asked Roger Goodell his thoughts about the upcoming season. You'll hear what he said coming up next. And then, Bill Belichick has preached the Patriot way for 2 decades. He's got 6 rings as a result. But what are all these departures saying about the system? You'll hear answers to those and other questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are back on Get Up, and just a little under an hour ago, we had NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell live on our program discussing a variety of topics, including the importance of having the draft tomorrow night and this weekend as scheduled and the significance of trying to keep the season schedule as close to intact as possible. Here's what Goodell said.
I think our job is to be prepared, for the season, to continue to do the things to get ready. Obviously, it's a different year for all of us. We've had to make modifications in our off-season program. We've had to make significant changes to our draft. And those are all appropriate and they're right to do. And part of what this is about is continuing to work from home, be productive from home, continue to do things we're supposed to do, and be prepared.
He did not commit to any specific thoughts on the possibility of the season being delayed, about the possibility of shortening the season, for example. He did say all options are on the table when I asked him about the possibility of playing in empty stadiums, which, by the way, is what they're about to do in South Korea, where the baseball season is set to resume in 2 weeks. Neek, I want to start with you because you are Dominique Foxworth, again, former president of the NFL Players Association. You've been in rooms with Roger many times. What was your takeaway from what he said?
Yeah, I mean, I think he said all the right things and they're going to do the right things. The NFL seems to have handled this process as well as any of the professional leagues. They had the good fortune of it not overlapping with their season, at least immediately. I know they got some criticism for going forward with the draft, but I think most people appreciate that they're going forward with the draft because it's nothing that they can do because the pandemic isn't going to impact it at all. And anytime there's some sort of TV production, the NFL always has a high quality of our high production quality. So I expect that they're going to have some nice little things in here. They're not going to try to conduct the draft normally and just do it with, like, we're going to go out and see the guys and maybe see Roger. I suspect that they're going to have some nice little Easter eggs kind of sewn into the production. And we're going to come away from this remembering this as unique special draft. Hopefully one we'll never have to do again. But I don't think it's going to be a bad production by any stretch. It'll be something that'll be fun and different. And if there are some hiccups, I hope that the NFL leans into it and doesn't pretend like we expect it to be perfect, because I think we all understand that the interesting times come from some interesting measures, and there are going to be some mistakes, but overall I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and they're also conducting what they will call a draft-a-thon, so they're raising money for a variety of very important charities during this this unprecedented time of the pandemic. Rex, he didn't get into any specifics on what may have to happen, but just give me a sense from a coaching standpoint of the way you're preparing right now. If you're thinking to yourself, well, we may have training camp on time, we may not. We may have the season starting on time, we may not. We may have a full year, we may not. What are coaches dealing with right now?
Well, Greeny, it sounds crazy, but really, your preparation, nothing's really changed. With the exception, by the way, you're at home, but all your video stuff, everything's been done. All your practice plans, everything's done. And then it's like, okay, hey, we've got to go to this pile. We're not going to have our mini camps. Now we're not going to have this. Training camps aren't going to start on time. Whatever it is, you're going to be prepared. You've had time. And your staffs, you know, and obviously you had all that time up until everybody was sent home. But I can tell you this right now, that they have communication with each other, with the staff, every single day. So they're still working, they're still planning, and it's whenever it's ready to go, and when it's like, okay, we can have it right now, they're going to be ready for it, whether it's next week, next month, 3 months from now, whatever it is, those teams will be ready. No excuses. Let's get it on.
Dan, let's deal with the part of this that I think football fans are most interested in. Seems impossible to imagine that the players will be on the field until late July at the earliest. So they'll miss all the usual offseason stuff. From a quarterback as young as Joe Burrow, who will be a rookie, to a quarterback as old as Tom Brady, who will be the oldest starting quarterback ever. Will that time impact their ability to be good and ready week one?
We got to have personal and professional pride. It's going to be a challenge. There's no question about it. But we heard Zach Taylor said, you got to get creative. And so he mentioned, listen, quarterbacks are going to have to spend time on their own, breaking the huddle and pretend and walking to the line of scrimmage and trying to envision defenses. Oh, if I've got this type of defensive front, where am I going to run the football? Oh, you know, if that safety drifted down, should I run the other way? Oh man, I got to pretend that these two blitzers are coming here. Where's my protection change? And then listen, you're going to have to throw to a net or something like that. And is it going to be unrealistic? Sure. But the guys that who can make it as realistic as possible will go in as ready as they can in comparison to others. But you're going to have to challenge yourself and show off your personal and professional pride as a player.
Yeah, there are so many little elements of how you handle this that should impact how teams play, assuming they are able to get started as scheduled. Okay, much more to go as we continue here. Our overwhelming top story, Rob Gronkowski is a Buccaneer. So first Brady, now Gronk. Two iconic Patriots are gone. What does it mean for Bill Belichick moving forward? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
What the hell just happened?
I'm pissed at Belichick.
I don't know what's going on with him. It's like, what's he turning into, the grandfather that always lets the kids win?
Oh, it hurts, man. It hurts.
He's done. He's dead to me. Gronk's dead to me.
I think this was planned all along by Gronk. When Gronk retired, he already knew what he was going to do. He was going to go put on a show, WWE, whatever the hell he was involved with, waiting to see where Tom Brady was going to go, and then, boom, come out of retirement.
What's next? Who the hell knows after today?
Some of the reaction in Boston to the news of the day yesterday. Rob Gronkowski joining Tom Brady in Tampa. Here's our Patriots reporter, Mike Reese. Mike, what do the departures of Brady and Gronk say about Bill Belichick and the culture in New England?
Well, Greeny, it's a tough place to play. They demand a lot of players, and Bill Belichick isn't an easy coach to play for. And you know what? You know who said that as much as anyone over the years? Bill Belichick himself. It's not like he has to apologize for anything about the culture. If anything, it's something to be proud of. It's traditionally built a team that's physically tough, that's mentally tough, and that rises up in the critical situations. That is a Belichick staple. But what we're seeing here, Greeny, is that sometimes that can wear on players who spend double-digit years in that hard, grinding culture. Rob Gronkowski has in part acknowledged that. And Tom Brady, after 20 years, you know, it could have been a different ending if the Patriots and Belichick were more willing to extend his contract in 2018 and 19. But given the chance to explore free agency now, he wants to see what it looks like somewhere else.
Yeah, that's the important piece here, is that Tom Brady didn't, despite all of the conversation, the most reasonable explanation for his departure has to do with his contract much more than it has to do with his relationship with Belichick. Is that right?
I think that's very fair, Greeny. I was on the practice field when Tom Brady was asked a couple years ago, do you think you deserve a contract extension? And his response was, you have to ask Mr. Kraft, the owner, and in turn, Bill Belichick, that question. And to me, the interpretation of that was, I'm ready. I'd love to sign a contract extension here in New England. But remember this about Bill Belichick. He never pays with the future, you know, in mind. In fact, he's saying, what you did in the past, I'm not paying for that. I got to look ahead and say, what are you going to look like 2 years from now, 3 years from now? And he was more content to go year to year with Tom Brady in these past few years.
So I'm going to ask you what I grant in advance is an impossible question. If Tom Brady was still in New England, do you think Rob Gronkowski would have come back?
I don't think so, Greeny. And I go back to what Drew Rosenhaus, the agent for Rob Gronkowski, said last night on SportsCenter. He said he got the call from Rob Gronkowski once Tom Brady went to Tampa, saying that was a desirable situation for him to consider. So if that didn't happen, I don't think Drew Rosenhaus's phone is ringing with Rob Gronkowski on the other side.
All right, Mike, let's talk later in the week here as we'll see what the Patriots do. A lot of speculation they may take a quarterback in this draft at some point. Meanwhile, I want you to hear Rob Gronkowski. This was right after or shortly after he retired when he was talking about why he felt he needed to step away when he did. And it was almost difficult to listen to. Here was Gronk.
I needed to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down, and I didn't like it. And I was losing that joy in life, like the joy. I'm sorry right now, but I really was, and I was fighting through it. And I knew what I signed up for, and I knew what I was fighting through. And I knew I just have to fix myself.
So that's fascinating. So let me bring in Dan Graziano, Rex Ryan, and Dominique Foxworth, because and Nick, let me start with you. Like, how do you get from there to yesterday deciding, yeah, I'm all in and ready to play again, but not at some point in it say the elephant in the room is that getting away from the Patriot way is a big part of the equation?
Well, I mean, I think everybody can probably relate to that feeling that Gronk had. Everyone who's ever, like, committed to something – really, really fully committed to something have had that feeling where they were like, man, I just need a break. And I guess just some time away could do that for him and whatever other WWE and just having fun. He seems like a guy who's kind of different. He's even different for football player standards. He's a unique guy. And I think being in Belichick, there's no one else who seems to be more like anathema to the Belichick Patriot way than Rob Gronkowski, who seems to be, most importantly to him, is to, like, perform well, but he wants to have fun and he wants to be happy. So for him to kind of be that square peg that had to fit into that round hole for so long, I think may have been tougher on him than anybody else. So now he has an opportunity to come in and kind of be fully himself in New England. Not that he was, or excuse me, in Tampa, not that he wasn't in New England, but it certainly seems like a different atmosphere down there with Bruce Arians and Tom Brady.
Well, it certainly is. Now, Rex, there were, and again, you competed against Belichick like crazy for years in that division as the coach of the Jets and then the coach of the Bills. There are some who will say this is the end of the Patriot way right before our eyes. What do you say?
No, absolutely not. I look at it this way. Look, here's a simple fact that nobody's really talking about. The Patriots think they're better off without these two players. Done. End of story. And I'm going to say this. Bill Belichick, the reason he's so good, one of the reasons is this. He has the courage to move on from players. He's done it with Wes Welker, Randy Moss, Richard Seymour, Dion Lewis. Logan Ryan. The list goes on and on. Damian Woody, a million players that can still play. But there is a mentor that I've had, and I know is a mentor of Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells. He used to say, you'd rather move away from a player 1 year too early than too late. And don't think for a second that doesn't, you know, the Patriots have done it. This is not the first time they've lost players. It's happened over and over and over. And it just so happens that, by the way, it's Tom Brady now. But that's the beauty of Bill Belichick. He's like, no, if he thinks you're done playing, Gronkowski, Tom Brady, he moves on from you. Okay? And that's the way it is. And they'll never admit it publicly, but the Patriots' actions speak louder than words. And to me, I've seen this thing play out before, and it's playing out again in front of us.
All right, Graziano, so put it all in perspective for us here. What should we be taking away from what we've seen here these last couple of months?
Well, as usual, it's more nuanced, right? Because you have the fact that this ended up wearing on Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady is indisputable, but it took 9 years for it to wear on Gronkowski to the point of retirement. It took 20 years and the lack of a contract extension for it to get to the point where Tom Brady wanted out. You know, you've seen both sides. You've seen excellent players go there. I'm thinking of guys like Chris Long, Martellus Bennett, go there 1 year, win their Super Bowl, and go, you know what, this isn't for me. So you've seen both ends of it. The key thing for me is, for years, Bill Belichick has been able to negotiate contracts with players, get them to sign for less, because he's been able to promise them a real chance at winning the Super Bowl, a chance to play with Tom Brady, et cetera, et cetera. And people are willing to subvert whatever they might otherwise be after because of those things. So how much weight is behind those promises now going forward? This is a critical year for Bill Belichick to show that he can continue maintaining that winning program and have a chance to promise people Super Bowls, or else he's going to have to change his approach in terms of player acquisition and team building.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big question, the first one, will be the quarterback position. Is it going to be Jarrett Stidham? Do they make a move this weekend? Cam Newton and Jameis Winston, in theory, are still out there. I'll be fascinated to see what they decide to do. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, it is worth reminding everyone that Rob Gronkowski is also a champion in another sport. And the WWE is not letting him forget. They tweeted at him, congratulations, Gronk, the current WWE 24/7 champion. Per the rules of the 24/7 title, Gronk must defend his championship at all times in any location. He could be celebrating a touchdown pass from Tom Brady anytime, anywhere. If that phone rings, watch for Gronk to be back in a ring, a squared circle somewhere near you. As we continue, Gronk will never be accused of being boring. Does he make the Buccaneers great? What does Stephen A. think? He'll tell you next. Get up on ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Sports will be back.
And our favorite stars will make us cheer again.
But for now, we're all rooting for a different kind of hero.
And doing our part
to make a difference.
Keeping our distance.
And protecting the most vulnerable.
Let's embody the best parts of sports.
Teamwork. Sacrifice.
Resilience.
One goal.
Together.
Back on Get Up on a very busy day. Obviously, the top story this morning, as by now you've heard, Rob Gronkowski is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, traded yesterday from the New England Patriots, where he was so brilliant in playing alongside Tom Brady. He'll do it again now in Tampa. So many questions, however, about Gronkowski's new team and his old one. And here to answer those is the one, the only, Stephen A. Smith, who was ready for First Take, which starts in about 15, 16 minutes here on ESPN. Stephen A., good morning. Here we go. Let's start with the Tampa side of this. We've had a lot of different perspective this morning, because when last seen, Gronkowski certainly seemed to be physically something of a shell of himself. Just how good, just how much better are the Buccaneers in your mind than they were 24 hours ago?
Well, I personally think it's a significant upgrade because you know what they're going to do in the red zone. Rob Gronkowski is obviously an elite target. He's got 79 touchdowns in his career. We know what he brings to the table. The familiarity, the assisting Tom Brady in the culture change, to have weapons like Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard. These are weapons not only did Tom Brady not have at his disposal, especially last season, but for the most part throughout his career, Rob Gronkowski didn't have that supporting cast either. You have a situation right now where Rob Gronkowski could literally sit on the sideline with his shades on, chilling or absorbing the, or pouring the crowd to like really, really bring it on or whatever the case may be until you get in the red zone and then you can find him as a target at that particular moment in time. With Bruce Arians calling the offense, with Byron Leftwich helping him do so as the offensive coordinator, with Tom Brady, a very, very familiar individual, throwing him the football. There is no question to me that this is going to be an elite offense in the National Football League. I remind you that even though my defensive player of the year, quarterback Jameis Winston, is no longer there because he won't be throwing 30 interceptions, let's not forget the fact that the guy did throw over 5,100 yards, 5,109 to be exact. The man passed for 5,000 yards. Okay, so if he could pass for 5,000 yards in that offense, imagine what Tom Brady could do with the requisite weapons, not to mention not throwing 30 interceptions because he's never thrown more than 14 in his career. Not to mention the fact it's also going to improve their running game because Rob Gronkowski is not just an elite pass catcher from the tight end spot. He's also an elite blocker, which is also going to assist their running game as well. Overall, their offense should be a juggernaut. Their defense improved in the second half of the season. I think that Tampa Bay, they still ain't better than San Francisco. I agree with Dan Orlovsky there. But they're going to be one of the elite teams in the NFC, and everybody better look out.
You know, Mike Tannenbaum brought up the idea that maybe this now becomes the team that a lot of veterans want to sign a one-year deal with because they want to play with Brady and all of that. I get that totally. But you know better than anybody. In basketball, that works. Put a bunch of guys together, put those three guys together in Miami in 2010, and they're in the NBA Finals just like that. In football, it usually doesn't. And you remember what happened in Philadelphia when the Eagles tried to put together what they called a dream team. It doesn't always work in football. Are you concerned that it doesn't work in this case? What is your level of concern that it doesn't all come together that fast in this case?
Zero. Zero. And here's the reason why. The team is basically intact, with the exception of adding Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. If I sat up there and I said to any football team on the planet, we're going to leave ourselves intact. We had the fourth-ranked passing attack in the National Football League. We have one of the elite offenses in the National Football League. But instead of Jameis Winston, I'm going to add Tom Brady. And without getting rid of Brate or O.J. Howard, I'm going to add Rob Gronkowski. You tell me what is there to figure out. How is that a problem? It's not a problem at all. You have additional weapons. If it's a problem, it's a damn good problem for Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich to have. And I think they'd be the first to tell you that.
Okay, I like that. If it's a problem, you're exactly right. It's a problem 31 other teams would like to have. And one of them that used to have it and does it now, of course, is New England. So what? Tom Brady wanted to keep playing, but not there. Rob Gronkowski wanted to come back and play, but not there. What does all of this say about the Patriot way and about Bill Belichick?
Well, it's not about the Patriot way. It's about the Bill Belichick way. And the fact of the matter is he's an elite coach. You can't knock him. He's a champion six times over as a head coach, two times as a defensive coordinator. He's been to 11 Super Bowls overall, 9 as a head coach. There's no way to impugn the greatness of Bill Belichick. He's just simply that phenomenal. The flip side to it is that if you want to have a good time while winning, that might not be the place that you want to be. That's all that this says. That's not a great thing to say about Bill Belichick, but that's all there is that you can say. He might strip you of the fun, the good times that you could have while enduring an NFL season. That's about all. There's nothing else that you can say about the man. His job as a head coach is to try to win as many football games as possible. Him, along with Tom Brady, has done a phenomenal job of doing so over the last two decades. You can't sully his name in any way other than the fact that he's the kind of guy that you definitely can win with. He will help you win. He will put you in the best position to win. But are you going to enjoy yourselves during that grueling six, 7 month period where you have to play with this man, not including training camp, OTAs, preseason, etc.? Can you deal with not having that great of a time? That's about the only question mark about Bill Belichick. In all honesty, can't say anything else about the man.
The good time continues here on ESPN in a little over 10 minutes. First Take coming your way. Stephen A. Max and company. Steve, thank you as always, and we'll see you in just a few minutes. Very quickly, meanwhile, on planet Earth, did you see this? The LA Chargers have new uniforms. and it features their signature powder blue, gold, and white color scheme. What do we think? I can't believe how many of them there are. There aren't all that many games. But I like the uniforms. I've said it before, I'll say it again. All the uniforms in the 70s were the best. They should all go back to that. As we continue, now that Gronk and Brady have reunited, Stephen A. and Max are going to come back, and the question will be, is anyone ready to put them in the Super Bowl? They'll talk about that and a whole lot more as First Take follows us, as every morning, on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and tomorrow night, the biggest decision that will be made in the NFL draft is this. Which quarterback goes second? Will it be Tua Tagovailoa, who had the highest QBR of any player, any quarterback, since ESPN introduced that stat in 2004? Or will it be Justin Herbert, who right now Vegas thinks is going to be the fifth pick in this draft and the second quarterback? He accounted for 32 touchdowns last year and over 3,400 yards. Again, Mel Kiper's latest mock draft has Herbert going 5 to the Dolphins and 2-6 to the Chargers. That would result in 3 quarterbacks going in the first 6 picks. So we're going to do something here that we call Make Your Case. And we're going to do it this way. Mike Tannenbaum is going to try and make the case for taking Justin Herbert. Dan Orlovsky is going to make the case for taking Tua Tagovailoa. And, Neek, you're the judge, and I'm told I need to see your gavel. Oh, yeah. We got a gavel. We are ready to go. So, Neek, you are the judge. The eyes of justice are blind. Here we go. Mr. T, what is the case for Justin Herbert over Tua?
We're actually going to start with the Oregon defense of all things. When you go to opening day, Justin Herbert led Oregon to the lead, and Oregon's defense against Auburn had Auburn down to a 3rd-and-10 with the lead, and their freshman, Bo Nix, made a great completion. And if that play doesn't happen, Oregon, a one-loss Oregon team, is actually in the Final Four. Next play is, look at his ability to run. Big play against Wisconsin. They're down in the fourth quarter. He avoids a tackle. He's able to outrun the defense. Very athletic. Okay, here's the play with Bo Nix here. That play keeps him out of the Final Four. Next play up here, Justin Herbert avoids a tackler, and then he outruns a really good Wisconsin defense to give them the lead in the Rose Bowl. That's hard to do. Here's his ability to process. Read the defense, make a throw accurate against a really good Utah defense. And lastly, my concern, Greeny, about Tua, watch what he breaks contain here. He can't outrun a defensive lineman. And you look at some of the recent injuries in the NFL between Carson Wentz, Jimmy G. When did they get hurt? When they try to break contain. So when you look at where Tua struggles and what Herbert can do, I'm taking Justin Herbert.
Okay, that is a very strong case for Justin Herbert. Dan Orlovsky, how about your side?
With Tua Tagovailoa, you're getting a player that 6 months ago was the number one pick in the NFL draft. You're getting a player that one of the greatest coaches of all time has said and turned to at halftime of the national championship game 2 years ago and said, I need you to go win this game for me. That great coach has said, passing on him, you will regret the same way I regret passing on Drew Brees. And that same coach has said, Tua is the most important person to ever come to the University of Alabama as a player. You're getting a player that has the accuracy of Orlando Bloom with his arrows in Lord of the Rings. A player that sees things the way Drew Brees does in the pocket, and a player that moves in the pocket like Floyd Mayweather does in a boxing ring. You're getting a player that could be the greatest passer all time in the history of college football. Tua was born for this. He's ready made for this, and he's custom built for this. So if you're the Miami Dolphins, are you willing to pass on a chance at greatness? Are you willing to pass on a player that could become the best player at the most important position? If you're the Chargers, do you want to be the same old Chargers? Because Joey Bosa and Derwin James, they're great players, but they're not going to sell out your stadium or take you to a championship. A lot of us grew up playing Little League Baseball, and we had coaches tell us, don't go up there looking for a walk. Take your swings. So you teams, take the bat off your shoulder and take your cuts.
Those are some really good arguments from both of you guys. I appreciate it. But I think that I have to side with the player here, Dan Orlovsky, because your argument is about a great player. And the argument for Justin Herbert is about he needs a lot more help. He needs some coaches to help him get to where he needs to go. Always go with the player, not the executive. Good thing to follow there. Good rule to follow for everyone.
Can I Is there an appeals process here?
Yes. Mike Tannenbaum, you can approach the bench. Go ahead. What would you like to say?
I go back to what Coach Ryan said before, that availability is a big part of being a performer in the NFL, and that's the big concern with you. Will he be available to play? And he needs everything to go right around him in terms of an offensive line. So that's why, to me, I'm taking Justin Herbert because he's going to be available.
Okay, I would like to say, I would like to object to this. I feel like the proceedings were absolutely slanted from the beginning. Final thoughts on Gronk. Here we go. Orlovsky, I need one sentence. Are the Buccaneers the team to beat in the NFC now with those guys? Yes or no?
No, San Francisco 49ers.
All right, Dominique Foxworth, yes or no? Tampa's the team to beat.
No, I think that they still have the 49ers, and I think in their own division, I like the Saints a little better right now. Gronk is a great addition, and I like everyone saying that he is going to be.
All right, I'm out of time. Tannenbaum, we'll get your answer tomorrow. See you then. First Take starts now. Mike.